month. Either way, you can be contributing at a level that's more appropriate for what you're able to do. If you know you can do that, please do. Know that you're making a difference with your dollars, and I'm betting you're one of those people that does already in other ways. You know, one of the things I like about giving to KBOO is I know that I'm supporting a whole bunch of causes, getting their word out. And I know more than anything, I'm having a chance to hear the underserved voices, to hear the voices of people that don't get on mainstream media and yet have something important to tell us. You know, I only have a few seconds left in this time, so I want to make sure you can call us at 877-500-5266. Show your support for Democracy Now. Show your support for KBOO and double the dollars you give. So if you give us 120, it becomes 240. You give us 240, it's 500. It's you who make the difference. Once again, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266 or at kboo.fm. And now back to our regular programming.
KBOO is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the big events survey on kboo.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to kboo.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KBOO, past, present, and future, 50th anniversary celebration.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, and please call 231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email monica at kboo.org.
This is KBOO Portland. Good morning. It's 8:01.
On this edition of Making Contact, you'll hear excerpts from the documentary, The Murder of Fred Hampton, produced by filmmakers Mike Gray and Howard Auk. We present this for historical context amidst current media disinformation and government surveillance of groups organizing for Black lives and liberation. The film explores how the FBI conspired with Chicago police to murder Fred Hampton, a dynamic community leader whose rhetoric of militant Black resistance and socialist ideology made him a target of the United States government.
We're going to say it after this, not that I'm locked up, not that everybody's locked up, that you can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolution. Right. You might run a liberator like Harris Cleveland out the country, but you can't run liberation out the country. You might murder a freedom fighter like Bobby Hutton, but you can't murder freedom fighting, and if you do, you come up with answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain, you come up with conclusions that don't conclude. Bye.
46 years ago, Fred Hampton, the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois' Black Panther Party, was assassinated. On December 4th, 1969, the Chicago Police Department raided Fred Hampton's apartment, shot and killed him in his bed. He was 21 years old. This is Fred Hampton in his own words.
So we always say to the Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pigs. The people are going to have to stand up against the pigs. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
We have brought to trial here Fred Hampton. You are here to judge between two conflicting testimonies. Somebody is lying. Now, reason stands. Reason is very clear here. That Private Jones, who had come from Sanford, North Carolina, would have no great desire to see Fred Hampton up in this trial. But Fred Hampton, a key figure in this community, has great reason for not wanting to be put in jail.
But the state's attorney and the state's attorney's office has reasons to see Fred Hampton in jail. We've got a new state's attorney, you see. And he said already what he thought about people that had different political beliefs than he had. His speeches sound somewhat like those of Hitler, and we know why he wants to see Fred Hampton put in jail. Why do I have a lot of arrests? Because of harassment. Why is that harassment? Because the people that harass me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently, and they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me? Because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people. And if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of an organization that will be the first organization they'll move on, because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party. That is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear and said that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not and badges or 18 uniforms, if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people. Well, and what makes them mad about that? They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have Black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descents, they had them caught up in movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think you fight fire with fire. We think you fight fire with water. We're going to fight racism, not with racism, but we're going to fight it with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight it with socialism. We stood up and said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions with all of us people to get together and have an international proletarian revolution.
Right on.
Almost 5 decades later, Hampton's message of resisting state repression remains relevant. And as a man of the people, he refused to let the intimidation tactics by the state stop him from organizing and working in the interests of the people. Here is Fred Hampton in conversation about the importance of deep political education.
You basically knowing my ideology, basically you knowing me, knowing yours, you can support some of our programs. Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
And you believe in programs like the Breakfast for Children program and pre-health clinics? Right on, brothers?
We believe they're good things.
Uh-huh.
As a focal point to organize their mothers and fathers.
Uh-huh.
Peace.
Mm-hmm. There's no educational program here?
That's come out of the social action thing. You know, you set that up, brother. I mean, we can't put everything on one piece of paper.
What about this bank?
Credit union?
Mm-hmm. Credit union.
Credit union, my brother.
It is a bank.
Are you hip to credit unions?
It is a bank.
Yeah,
are you going to buy money?
Yeah.
It's
a bank.
It's a bank.
Owned by the people. Run for the people. And by the people.
Mm-hmm. What would money be given out to people for?
Well, the people would decide that.
You want to buy,
you know, whatever, you know, the people in the community decide.
You need some living room furniture, maybe? You need a car, maybe?
See, the thing is with me, you dig, I need to know some more about it. I wish you had some more literature about the educational thing here. Because, you dig, as far as we're concerned in the struggle, the way we look at struggle is that this depends on the educational thing, you dig.
This depends on the education.
Well, the whole thing.
No, but in the end, this does. You can form this with no education. You can form this.
No, not the way we're talking about forming it. You know, right. We're talking about forming it right. You know, it's not on the paper. We didn't write it on the paper.
No, form it right with no education.
No.
Let me give you an example. Yomo Kenyatta formed the excellent revolution with no education. And on the day of the end thing, Yomo told the motherfucker, said, well, you know, you can educate, hate the enemy, but I'm your brother. I help you lead the revolution. Now I'm more oppression. Another example, Papa Doc in Haiti. Papa Doc in Haiti hated everything white. Man, you couldn't put this white paper in front of Papa Doc's face. But he moved all the white people out and he took over and be oppressed when he did, because of no education. And the people that have been educated, they said that we don't hate white people, we hate the oppressor, whether he be white, black, brown, or yellow. So we got to know the educational program to find out what is going to be in the finale. A lot of people, Yomo Kenyatta is called not a
Methyl revolutionary, but an ex-revolutionary. So was Papa Doc. They brought on successful revolution. That thing in the Mau-Mau's was a Bantu freedom fighters, all that kind of action. What we're saying is, that it's the end. But you don't judge Castro now. You can't do it. Nobody in this room could judge whether Castro's going to be a revolutionary or not. You know what I mean? We're talking about things, you know what I mean, with China, the People's Republic, and even at the stage they're in now, talking about even going on further into a communistic state. That's what we're talking about. That was a revolutionary. So we got to understand here the educational program that you have to be able to figure out whether it will go on the right lines, where the people will end up in a situation where they can be able to really control themselves. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, the people that take this local foundation and start stealing money because they won't be really educated to why it's the people's thing anyway. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, you have neocolonialism instead of colonialism like you got in Africa now, like you got in Haiti. So what we're talking about is there has to be an educational program. That's very important. As a matter of fact, we are so important for us that a person has to go through 6 weeks of our political education before he can consider himself a member of the party, able to even run down ideology for the party. Why? Because if they don't have an education, then they're nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? They're nowhere because they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. You might get people caught up in an emotionalist movement. You understand me? You might get them caught up in because they're poor and they want something. And then if they're not educated, they want more. And before you know it, they'll be capitalists. And before you know it, we'll have Negro imperialists.
Yeah, but you see, brother, the reason we don't do a lot of talking is because what you say is foregone conclusion with us.
Yeah, well, see, brother, the reason I do a lot of talking is because there's no foregone conclusion with me.
Fred Hampton's talking and thinking was connected to the requirement that individuals interested in becoming members of the party discuss and subscribe to the ideology of the party. Every member of the Black Panther Party was expected to attend political education classes that taught the fundamentals of the party's 10-point platform and program, a layout of rules of engagement, conduct, and the socio-political objectives of the organization. As a leader in the Black Panther Party, Hampton also talked about the need for working class and oppressed people to unite. He explored the intersectionality of identity politics and class-based struggles. In 1969, Hampton helped to form the Rainbow Coalition, a multi-ethnic union of young leaders who challenged Chicago's power elite to effect change for the city's most disenfranchised communities. Hampton was also able to broker a gang truce between some of Chicago's most active street gangs. This type of political organizing was directly seen as a threat to the internal security of the country. J. Edgar Hoover, as director of the FBI, led a secret counterintelligence program now known as COINTELPRO, aimed at surveilling, discrediting, and disrupting domestic organizations. In the words of the FBI's own directives, agents were told to, quote, dismantle, destabilize, and neutralize or otherwise eliminate these movements. The murders on December 4th, 1969, of 21-year-old Fred Hampton and 22-year-old Black Panther Mark Clark were a direct example of the state suppression of Black militancy and the emergence of today's U.S. police state. After Hampton's murder, Black Panther leader Bobby Rush asked the world to critically examine the brutality and unjust events of that day.
You are the ones who are going to decide for yourselves what happened in that apartment on the morning of December 4th, you're going to decide whether or not Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were the victims of premeditated murder.
At this time, there's no response from within. I take my revolver in my right hand, and I found possibly four, five, or six times. A voice from within, a male voice from within.
Should I say renew and increase, or these are just renewed?
I respond, police officers, I have a search warrant. Open the door.
And that's only one increase. That's an increase. He's also a volunteer.
And good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO. In case you don't know, that was not Joanne Hardesty's voice that you were hearing. You're used to hearing her on Thursday mornings, and she unfortunately had to be out of town, but we found a great substitute. We couldn't substitute her as a call host, so we're substituting a really great archival documentary. This is called The Murder of Fred Hampton. It's a film that began when Fred Fred Hampton in Chicago was one of the leading figures growing up into the Black Panther movement and a real force in his community. And he was murdered, shot in his bed by the Chicago police. And this documentary you're hearing is telling you the filmmakers actually were scheduled to be at his house, and they got to his house and they found him already shot. And so this has been renewed and brought up. This film is going to be released for you and I and others to see. That's the kind of really truly innovative and great programming we're bringing you here on KBOO. I promise you, you're not hearing this on any other station in the city. That's enough to make a difference. But I wanted to let you know we're in a special kind of circumstance. This is our winter mini drive. We need to raise a total of $15,000 in new and increased gifts specifically. We love all the rest of the renewings that aren't increased, but we need new and increased donations. Or if you give a one-time, say you're a member at $10 a month level, and you give a one-time contribution of $25, that will be doubled. But we need to reach the $15,000 from you to have it matched by the organization that's giving it. It's a challenge from them. It's a challenge to you as listeners of KBOO to step up and make a big difference with your money. So please call us right now. Double the dollars that you put into KBOO. The number is 877-500-5266. You can also go online on your smartphone or on your computer at kboo.fm. It's very easy, very quick. We have wonderful gifts to give you. Topical gifts. Ask the phone call answerers when you get them. They're all here waiting for your call right now. I want to thank Jan from a volunteer and a renewing member at an increased amount. She wanted to grab that match. Thank you, Jay. Diane, a renewing member. Eric, a brand new member. Thank you, Eric, for joining the tribe. Dante from Malala, a renewing member. Thank you for the outer areas who stay in touch and make your voice heard. There's also Myrtle from Staten, a new member. Thank you, Myrtle. And Squirrel from HR, and I don't know where that is a renewing member. Thank all of you so much for calling in. So, you know, double the dollars. If you're new to KBOO, maybe you're new to the Portland area and you're feeling your way around saying, how do I fit? Where do I fit? Who are my people? Well, if you've happened onto KBOO, you found them. That's right. We are your community radio station for the most fantastic live and programming that you ever get in music in the evening and afternoon, and for great public affairs like this. We're listening to the murder of Fred Hampton. If you don't know that name, you're the perfect listeners. Fred Hampton was famous when I was young, when I was in college. He was an upcoming, rising voice in the African-American struggle for freedom in this country. And he was a member of the Black Panthers, and he was murdered in his bed in Chicago. The filmmakers, who were already doing a film on him, showed up at the house to find him dead. And this film has now been renewed, and you're hearing direct cuts of Fred Hampton and others when you're listening to it. I hope you appreciate that programming. I think you really do. That's why you're a listener to KBOO. You don't want to hear the same old stuff on mainstream media. So pick up your phone right now. We need to hear all the phones ringing. Ding, 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 ding. KBOO.fm is another way to do it. 877-500-5266. We really need your dollars. This is the last day of our drive. We want to make sure that we use all of that match that's available. So every single new member out there that could be a new member, please do it right now. Do it at the $5 a month, $60 a year. It's easy to do out of your checking or credit card. Please just take a moment right now and become a member. 877-500-5266. Double your dollars.
As soon as Sergeant Daniel Groth and Officer James Davis, who were leading our men, announced their office, occupants of the apartment attacked them with shotgun fire.
I wait several seconds. There's no reply from within. The door's not open. I again take my revolver in my right hand. I wait a second or so. A male voice from within the apartment says, just a minute.
There was no response from the group. There was no verbal was...
The response from the group was the firing of a shotgun blast at our police officers.
There was no verbal response in addition to that.
The response to our police officers was the firing at them by a person in the apartment.
Didn't they ask who was it several times?
When the police officers announced their office, they were fired upon.
Didn't they ask who was it at the door?
The answer, a shot rings out, goose falls off in this direction. I enter in a semi-erect position. There's a woman lying on the bed with a shotgun, calmly pumping it, pointing in my direction, and fires. The fire illuminates her face. I get a very good look at her. I feel something go over my left shoulder. I then step back here. I look in, get up on my toes, point my revolver, look in again, cover my face, and fire several shots at the girl.
I heard a knock on the door. He said a policeman told us to open up. And my clock, he said, just a minute, he got up. And next thing I knew, they had busted into the door. They came in shooting. They shot me. They shot Mark Clark.
This here is the room where the first brother, Mark Clark, was murdered at.
Don't touch nothing, don't move nothing, because we want to keep everything just the way it is.
Don't touch no walls. Please don't. Okay, this here is the door that they said the sister fired through with a shotgun. But if the sister had fired through this door with a shotgun, you could look at the wall out there and see some holes where the pellets had left out there. You can see no signs of a shotgun blast being fired through this door here.
Sir, you say your men were fired upon... Witnesses who have seen the apartment say there is no evidence of bullets from the direction where the Panthers supposedly were to be.
I said that after our officers announced their purpose and their station several times, they were fired upon from within the room.
We say this is nothing more than a fascist lie to justify the murder that took place in this crib here. This doorway here, which is absent of a door, the door has been removed and is now in the possession of our defense attorneys, and it's going to be used in our case to prove that what happened here was nothing more than murder.
After days of maneuvering, Black Panther attorney Francis Andrew finally brought a bullet-punctured door panel to the inquest. However, a controversy immediately arose as to whether Andrew's panel was the same one that was removed from the Black Panther apartment. This is Andrew's version.
Which side is the outside, sir?
The outside, you're looking from the inside now.
Looking from the inside now?
Yes. You look out this side.
That's the inside?
This is the outside.
It looks like the door is splintered on both sides.
You see that there is a hole up here, which none of the police in their testimony have mentioned. As a matter of fact, they have denied this hole up here. It shows a bullet coming from the outside to the inside.
The hole at the bottom there.
The hole at the bottom is a hole that was made while the door was standing wide open.
Assistant State's Attorney Nicholas Motherway says Andrew could have gotten the door panel at any lumber yard. Motherway's point was backed up at least in part by a police crime lab technician who examined the door in the Panther apartment the same day as the raid. The technician said, first of all, that there was only one hole in the panel the day he examined it, and second of all, he said that he couldn't be sure the panels were one and the same.
This is December 4th, 1969 at 10:54 a.m. My name is Skip Andrew, and I'm at 2337 West Monroe Street, Chicago, Illinois. This door, which is the door entering into the living room, has two holes in it. This one I'm pointing to right here, 10 inches from the edge, and this one down here, 12 inches. The first one I referred to being 25 from the top, and the second one 36 from the top. Now, as you open this, there's also, of course, a knob door in this one. As you open this door, there's blood behind the door. The top hole shows that the bullet was incoming.
They fired through the door and hit the brother through the door. The brother fell here. Most of the blood is dried up, but you can see a little bit of it there and a little bit of it on the floor. The brother was shot four or five times, so after they came through the door, they shot him again to make sure he was dead.
Mr. Montgomery, Dr. Constantino, testified today that Mark Clark could not have struggled after receiving that shot through the heart. Now, in your mind, does this contradict the testimony of Officer Davis, who described a struggle?
Yes. It seems to me that that was a very startling thing. We also learned
that the bullet, which was in fact recovered from Mr. Hampton's body, was a bullet fired out of a carbine by Officer Davis. So that indicates also that Officer Davis may well have walked into that back bedroom, contrary to his testimony, and fired a shot into the body of Fred Hampton at one point in time or other.
There were six of us assigned to the back door. I came up on the back porch. I placed myself to the right of the door. I put my head down enough so I could hear if there was any conversation in the building. I heard people talking in the front, and then I heard a loud shot, sounded like a shotgun. I backed up and kicked the door open. I started in, and before I could get past the threshold, there were three shots fired from the rear bedroom. They were directed directly at the back door as I was coming in. I backed out again.
Only by the grace of God was one of our, or two of our police officers prevented from being killed when they were fired upon as soon as they announced their office and knocking on the door.
You're listening to Making Contact. I'm Anita Johnson. We'll hear more from the documentary film, The Murder of Fred Hampton, in just a moment.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund, and I am here to tell you about our mini winter drive. We're trying to raise $25,000 by the end of the day today. And in particular, we have a match, a generous match, but it's for new members and members increasing, and we really need you to call us right now. If we don't make that match entirely, if we don't get $15,000 worth of brand new members and members who have been members but are increasing their member amount or giving a one-time donation from a renewing member, then if we don't get that, we don't get the whole $15,000. We don't get the match. So they're really challenging you, and that's a lot to raise in one day. We've done it, though. We can do it. We can do it with your help. So I'm going to tell you the numbers and how to do it. We know you want to help KBOO, because where else are you going to hear a show like The Murder of Fred Hampton? So the toll-free number to call is 877-500-5266. And if you want to do it online, it's to kboo.fm. You know, maybe you're currently a $10 a month member, but you could increase that by $5 a month when you really think about it. Yeah, you actually could, and it'd be worth it, because you would know that $5 was going to something that was really valued, you know, getting to hear voices that don't get to be heard, especially as we move into the pre-election period, where many of us are expecting some pretty dire things to be happening, but we wonder, will the media even tell us about them at all? You know it will if you're listening to KBOO. It's 877-500-5266. We urgently need your dollars. If you're new to Portland and you're just tuning into KBOO for the last month or so, and, you know, you're getting a feel for what kind of station it is, and you're going, I like that station a lot. Really, we need you. We need you to become an active member in this game. So that's calling us at 877-500-5266. If you're a long-term member like I am, see if you can't increase. You know, I stopped increasing mine because I got it up to the level I could at the top. But I do give a one-time donation on a drive like this. I'm going to give $25, and that's going to be $50 for KBOO. So that's all we need you to do is call in right now, 877-500-5266. Michelle from Hood River, a renewing member, did that. Harriet from Southwest Portland also did. Thank you both so much. You know, we really do appreciate you, and you appreciate you, because you have KBOO Radio to tune into. Please make a difference with your dollars. This show, The Murder of Fred Hampton, I'm hearing the film footage, and it's amazing to be taken back to a period that doesn't seem that long ago, but was in the late 60s. If you wondered about some of the history of the murdering of the Black Panther Party and how law enforcement responded in this nation then, and you see how it's responding now, you really want to hear this show. So please pick up your phone and dial us while you're listening, 877-500-5266. We will post this show. You'll be able to hear the whole thing again and share it with your friends. That's another great thing about KBOO. So now we go back to the murder of Fred Hampton. Please call during the break.
Fred Hampton.
During the break, I said.
On December 11th, 1969, the Chicago Tribune carried a story that it characterized as an exclusive version from the state's attorney's office.
Why was the disclosure made in the Chicago Tribune?
Because that newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, in my opinion, gave a very balanced, fair report of the events that occurred.
It has nothing to do with the class of people or the type of people that buy the Tribune as opposed to other papers in the city?
Does anybody have a sensible question?
Included in the exclusive was a photo carefully circled to show bullet holes supposed to be in the back door.
The account that we made public yesterday gives a detailed explanation of what happened in that apartment. I stand wholeheartedly behind it as absolutely accurate.
There is one inconsistency in, well, for example...
I do not intend to quibble about that account.
Do you intend to get at the truth?
The account that we gave of the events is the truth.
One of the four pictures you gave the Tribune had two bullet holes on the right side of what was supposed to be the rear door.
Henry has lied before, and he's going to lie again. That hole that he's blown up in the paper is a hole of a nail.
Tight close-up of a nail head.
Plus a little bit of the door hasp.
Plus the door hasp. Mm-hmm. Now, here you see the large nail heads being pointed out.
I have said that we released the pictures. We have not characterized or described conditions that they portray, other than to say that that is an accurate portrayal of that particular object.
Do you know if any of the four pictures they received had portrayed bullet holes in any of the walls?
Another photo claimed to show the bullet-riddled door across from the bedroom. The officers testified that the Panthers fired into that door from inside their bedroom. In fact, the door in the photo was the bedroom door, and the holes in the door were made by police gunfire at the Panthers.
As you can see, bathroom door is intact. Not only the bathroom door, but the entire wall area is intact.
There was a picture of the inside of the door to the bathroom, yes.
That door, our reporters discovered, corresponded to one on the front living room adjoining the bedroom. There were holes in the door. When the door was open, those holes corresponded to holes that were in the wall adjoining between the bedroom and the living room. And when they stuck a stick through the holes, they all matched up.
I make no evaluation of the pictures, other than to say they portray conditions as they existed in that apartment at the time those pictures were taken.
This is the door that's supposed to contain numerous marks from a stray shotgun blast and small arms fire, which again was fired by members of the vicious Black Panther Party who were standing in this bedroom here, shooting out into the hallway here.
I urge your inventory of each of these vicious weapons. This attack by the Black Panthers on the police, plus the weapons which were recovered at the depot where they were storing them, clearly demonstrates the true character of the Black Panther Party.
Nobody, I have never denied that there were no weapons there. As a matter of fact, he would be a fool if he didn't have a weapon there, knowing the ferociousness of the pigs, how they just jump out of the cars and shoot you down, how they knock on your door and blow 19-year-old sister's head off with shotguns, how they kill two brothers in 1 week. And as a matter of fact, everybody that's concerned should have a something in their homes to protect themselves, because Hanrahan is a madman.
They came with a murder on their mind, you see. And even if they wanted to take somebody to jail, it would be a simple matter of just shooting some tear gas in here to draw everybody out.
Right on.
This is where our chairman had his brains blown out as he lay in his bed, sleeping at 4:30 in the morning.
Someone came into the room. Started shaking the chairman. Said, Chairman, wake up. The pigs are vamping. Still half asleep, I looked up and I saw bullets coming from, it looked like, the front of the apartment from the kitchen area. They were, the pigs were just shooting. And about this time, I jumped on top of the chairman. He looked up. Looked like all the pigs converged at the entranceway to the bedroom area, back bedroom area.
The mattress is just going. You could feel the bullets going into it. I just knew we'd be dead, everybody in there. When he looked up, he didn't say a word, and he didn't move, except for moving his head up. He laid his head back down to the side like that. He never said a word, and he never got up out the bed. The person who was in the room, they kept hollering out, "Stop shooting, stop shooting. We have a pregnant woman or a pregnant sister in here." That time, I was 8.5 to 9 months pregnant. My baby was to be delivered in 2 weeks. Pigs kept on shooting. So he kept on hollering out. Finally, they stopped. They pushed me and the other brother by the kitchen door and told us to face the wall. Heard a pig say, "He's barely alive, he'll barely make it." I assumed they were talking about Chairman Fred. So then they started shooting the pigs. They started shooting again. I heard a sister scream. They stopped shooting. Pig said, "He's good and dead now." The pigs were running around laughing. They were really happy, you know, talking about Chairman Fred is dead. I never saw Chairman Fred again.
I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the International Revolutionary Proletarian Struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the International Proletarian Revolutionary Struggle, even if you be living in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Listening to excerpts from the documentary film, The Murder of Fred Hampton. The excerpts were courtesy of Facets DVD, and that's it for this edition of Making Contact. Check out our website, radioproject.org, to get our podcasts, download past shows, or make a difference by supporting our work. Like Making Contact on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. The Making Contact team includes Lisa Rutman, Monica Lopez, Marie Chad, RJ Lozada, Vera Tice Schooler, Sabine Blazin, and Quan Booth. I'm Anita Johnson. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO. If you're one of the listeners who was wondering, where's Joanne Hardesty? She's out of town, and she is happy that you are getting to hear The Murder of Fred Hampton, a film that was started back in the late 60s to cover the Illinois Black Panthers and its young chairman, Fred Hampton, who was gaining a national reputation and national attention for his leadership. And they arrived at the house that afternoon to find him murdered by the police. And you can actually see the film footage. I remember seeing the film footage of people from the community lining up to go through that house and see exactly how Fred Hampton was murdered. It's a really important part of our history that goes not seen, not heard on mainstream media entirely. And yet we are in another period of uprising around the way that African American and other people of color are treated in this country. So I think it's particularly apt that we brought it for you this morning. So I'm asking you to show your appreciation by calling calling us right now and becoming a member of KBOO. It's 877-500-5266. Say that it makes a huge difference for you to hear that original footage and know what the history really was. It's KBOO.fm if you prefer to go online, if you want to use your smartphone or your computer or your iPad, whatever you've got. But however you do it, become a member today. We have a $15,000 match to match. We have to have $15,000 of new and increasing memberships from old members to be able to get that match. So you can double your dollars, but we need all of you who can do it to double your dollars. And we need you to call in with whatever you can give. You might be a person who can give just $25 as a one-time contribution and you've been a member. That will be matched. Maybe you're someone who's wondering, do I really want to be a member? You can do it at $5 a month. That's a $60 a yearly amount, and we can take it out of your credit card, your bank, your debit card, however you want us to get it from you. You won't feel it very much when it's only $5 a month. Please take a minute right now. Show your appreciation for KBOO's really, truly great programming, programming that you don't hear anywhere else. I want to thank Paul, who called in while the show was, while we've been listening to the murder of Fred Hampton. He's from Southeast. He's a renewing member. Thank you so much for calling in. We want to hear all the phones ringing right now. We've had that happen earlier in the day, but we need to hear it all day long. Your dollars are needed right now. I mean, literally, like right now. We need to have those phones ringing all day to be able to capture that $15,000 challenge grant that's being offered. That means we have to have $15,000 of pledged money coming in from new and renewing members. So if you're a new member out there, I run into people who say, oh, KBOO, that's right. I've been listening to that for the jazz. I really love the jazz. And, you know, there's an afternoon all of jazz. A lot of young people are turning towards that. Maybe you're one of the people who tunes in every morning to hear Democracy Now! Or if you were tuning in for Joanne Hardesty, you like to hear our talk shows or hers particularly. Any of those reasons is good enough to call right now and become a member. It's 877-500-5266. You know, that money isn't going to pay me or our engineer or any of the people answering the phone because we're volunteer-driven. That's absolutely right. We're community radio. You hear us on air, it's volunteers you're hearing, people trained by the station themselves, people who become trainers for the next group of people coming in. So please, show your appreciation for that. Show that you think it makes a difference to have KBOO in your community. The phone number to dial is 877-500-5266. I guess we don't really dial anymore. What would you say? The phone number to punch, to push, is 877-500-5266. You know, it's light out there now. You can also come by to the station. I don't know any other radio station that asks you to come on down. We'll give you a little tour. We'll feed you some coffee. We might have a muffin or two left if you do. It's 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. You'll see a big, huge mural and the bicycle racks out front. Go ahead and come in and see where your dollars go. You'll see a slightly shabby if you're looking at the carpet and the walls, but really filled with great equipment and production facilities so that we can bring you that information we bring you 24/7. That's right. Almost all volunteers and then a few selected already done programming like Democracy Now! So please take a moment. Know your dollars make a difference. We just heard that phone ring. We need you to call in with a $500 contribution that will be matched. You're a new member and you want to start big and you know that you can. You came here with a good job or you found a good job. Do it right now. Call us at 877-500-5266. Every new member and every increasing renewing member will be matched. We need you to do it, though. If we don't have all of you doing it, we won't end up getting enough to be matched. So please know that you individually, the one hearing my voice stumble mumble through this, are the person that really makes a difference. Call us at 877-500-5266 or go to us on the web at kboo.fm. It really only takes a few minutes and you'll know that you made a difference. And now we're going to go back to our programming.
All the way from the Windy City of Chicago, it is Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. of the POCC, Prisoners of Conscience Committee.
Black Panther Party Cubs.
That's right. Black Panther Party Cubs in the building. How you doing, brother?
Hey, spirits are high. Spirits are high.
I wanted to reference something. You know, the movie Panther came out, and in that movie they showed your father doing something that I think a lot of people haven't fully appreciated, which was the forming of the original Rainbow Coalition. That's something that we often cite Jesse Jackson, but it was actually your father who did it years before. And one of the things that was interesting, at least in the film, they showed him sitting down and talking with these folks from Appalachia, the young patriots, and how they were forming these coalitions. Talk about the forming of these coalitions and why we don't see that today, you know, in the way that we saw when your father was doing that, or do we see that and it's just not publicized? And the reason why I bring that up, one would think that these poor white folks that, you know, that are economically poor would have been in conversation and would have found that they do have a common interest with those who live in the poor communities and are in the inner city, so to speak. But you don't see that. Instead, what you see is an attempt to keep two disparaged groups, you know, far apart and at each other.
Well, let the record reflect that right now, today, as we speak, the Black Panther Party Cubs prides itself on the principal coalitions that we have had and that we form. Not only in the city of Chicago, but throughout the country. In fact, better yet, throughout the world. In fact, within the next few days, we were set to meet with Connor, who's from the indigenous community and who has a long-standing history with the Native Youth Movement, in which we've worked on campaigns addressing the mining in Mount Pauli and other campaigns, as well as that within the brown community, the issues of the conditions in the infamous Cook County Jail in Chicago and the likes. But just to go back to the initial part of your question, the Rainbow Coalition, Chairman Fred, which Deputy Chairman for the State of Illinois, the Black Panther Party, in which the Black Panther Party was very clear that it was the vanguard party, and it was not just a relationship with just everybody coming together and just, you know, hugging, some sort of abstract, or feel good type of session. It was a principal coalition, you know, saying that also respected that precious entity of self-determination. In other words, we've seen the young lords, a leadership with Cha-Cha Hernandez, who within the Puerto Rican community, they was able to speak and represent their own community's issues. And something that is difficult, a lot of people came from coalitions when it's when people come try to be your spokespersons or to deprive you of self-determination. So this is something that is key when we're talking about coalition building. And but I just want to go on, let the record reflect and reemphasize this, that right now as we speak today, the Black Panther Party Cubs in Chicago and throughout the world, we have a long history and continue to form, you know, principal coalitions. We just, some years back, right down in Los Angeles, Mortal Technique, you know, got down with us with the Black and Brown Unity Tour. But we do acknowledge that there were and there will be contradictions, you know what I'm saying, within the Black community, within the Black and brown community. Our position is to heighten the contradictions and to be clear on who's the principal. What is the principal contradiction? The ruling class, which was born out of white power, who's pulling the strings, who's setting the conditions, but at the same time acknowledging that there are secondary contradictions, but at the same time keeping our eye and placing the pig on the pig, the state.
When you say principal coalition, what do you mean by that? And how does one determine that?
Principal coalitions, scientific relationships. In fact, I recall we sat down with dialogue with members of the representatives from the brown community down in Southern California. We had upped the ante to call, like, to say, okay, we need, there has to be a reciprocal relationships. Like, you know, we talked about the case around that time was the execution of Stanley Tookie Williams. So there has to be reciprocal relationships from these various communities, and also not just dealing absolutes, not just this abstract with all the entire black communities and with the brown community. One thing that we always take into account is also acknowledging the class contradiction. So in other words, what representatives from these various communities we're talking about, whether it be the brown community or the progressive white community, not the state sanctioned ones, not the ones they pick up from the black community and say, here's your spokesperson. Because a lot of times these individuals who are detached from us, you know, so who don't even represent the black community, are heralded out and brought up to be the spokesperson. It's not by coincidence that the Rainbow Coalition, and many people are misinformed that it was Jesse Jackson that organized that. And the reality was, it was Chairman Fred Hampton who organized the Rainbow Coalition.
When you talk about the class contradictions, let me just make sure we're on the same page. What we may have, and we've seen this, is that we, I think, who live in poor conditions or have a economic situation where we just, you know, we kind of see things very similar. we should intuitively go, oh, okay, the folks that are going through immigration struggles, who are being chased down by ICE, we can relate. But if you go up the chain, you'll get somebody who is making $100,000 a year, who will sit up there and say, well, they shouldn't be here legally, and they'll be black saying that, which would create the illusion that all black people are feeling the same way, when really it's just a small percentage. You've seen that with people like Larry Elders. You've seen that with, you know, even people in the Democratic Party who were taking these positions that were very opposite, and same with the brown community. Is that what you're talking about?
That, as well as in addition to their respective aspirations. A lot of times we'll say, okay, just because this individual's making $100,000, but there are cases, in fact, when I was held captive, when I was locked up, there were individuals who were in prison with me who had no resources, but their aspirations, they aspired to be part of the ruling class. They had a petty bourgeoisie line. So the politics, regardless of even the resources that individuals have access to, your admirations, your aspirations, lays out and depicts your respective political position. And the deal is, it doesn't have to be antagonistic, but we must acknowledge these contradictions. And in fact, we say, I'm not a racist, I'm a realist. So we must acknowledge the race contradiction. You know, since we must acknowledge the class contradiction. And if we don't acknowledge it, it's something that the system would take and exploit, you know, and make it become an antagonistic contradiction. If we acknowledge it and face it head on, it doesn't necessarily have to become an antagonistic contradiction.
How has that played out in Chicago, or is it too far gone when you had the reelection of Rahm Emanuel and you did have a lot of black folks that got behind Emanuel against Chuy Garcia? And so this seemed to be, you know, from the outside looking in, people were saying, well, how did this happen? How come you're aligning yourself with Rahm Emanuel? And of course, now history shows Rahm played those people that got behind him in a big way.
Well, let the record reflect, it was not the masses of black people that aligned with Rahm Emanuel, and also it was the case of Garcia. And you go back and look at what aspect of what class did Garcia even align with? No disrespect, but the Jesse Jacksons and likes. So this whole, again, the masses of people who have been continuously attempted to be denied, whether it be in the black as well as the brown community, this is something that must be acknowledged. There's a class contradiction in every respective community, and particularly that of the colonized community.
You mentioned something, Chairman Fred, that may have went over people's head, and I want to see if you could just dig on this before we close out. You mentioned about the closing of schools, and here we are in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Ethnic Studies, College of Ethnic Studies, the only one in the country that was fought hard for, you know, took a year of striking. 700-800 people went to jail. And here we have all of a sudden a move to try and shut it down, defund it, and call it a day. But that seems to be going on all over the country. You just mentioned this is happening in Chicago. What is it about this education system that we find that becomes a fault line, or is it a distraction?
Everything is political, and we do distinguish electoral politics from politics. Everything is political. Words, terms, fashion, you name it. The whole dynamic of the privatization is inclusive of that of the parking meters in Chicago, which was just exposed by the big scam from former Mayor Daley of Chicago to the present Mayor Rahm Emanuel, about the benefits they have with the privatization of the parking meters, to the whole discussion of the privatization of the prisons and the privatization of the schools. This is big business. Initially, the state puts out these entities as some sort of social services or entities provided for the people. You see that we are in a stage of the game now where they're up front letting you know it's about bucks, it's about profit at the expense. You have a climate now where different states are saying, companies, you know, are saying point blank, we want, you know, we need this amount of prisoners within our prison by this year, so in order that we be able to profit. This is not new, because for quite some time, you know, the old catchphrase, the school to prison pipeline. However, it was done it was cloaked in some sort of nice term, like, you know, war on gang, war on drugs. You see an arrogance now being breeded by the state, where they're saying, no, this is about money. It's not about stopping crime. And we say it's terrible, but it's fine, because like Sun Tzu said in The Art of War, the cardinal principle of warfare is to know thyself and know thy enemy. And the people, if they're not clear, you see the arrogance of the white nationalists such as Donald Trump making it very clear. And as Marcus Garvey said, when all else fails, to organize the people, the conditions will.
Political prisoners. A lot has been happening on that front. Also, we just lost David Mondo in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Talk about the state of that. That's what the POCC is about. I know they're organizing around Matulu Shakur. Where do we stand with some of those soldiers and soldierettes that have been behind the cages?
The POCC, the Black Panther Party Cubs, we maintain a clarion call of free them all. That maintains those are the names that people are familiar with, the Sunday Out of Coley's, the Move Nines, the Mumia Abu Jamals and likes, as well as to the C numbers Illinois, as well as to the cases of your brother and your sister, you know what I'm saying, who are snatched up under the auspices of a so-called war on drugs or war on gangs. In the case of Brother Mondo and countless of cases, Phil Africa, the Move Nine, these quote-unquote deaths is what's inside these concentration camps. We are very clear that this state has a plan to implement the death penalty on all of us one way or another, whether it be through directly executing us through via lethal injection or some form of chemical biological warfare. We must, you know, we've seen this, we must up the ante and intensify the demand, you know what I'm saying, of saying free them all. And in the meantime, between time, we must be very clear. We've seen with the case of Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly known as A-Tribe Brown, so many others, that if the state would take these individuals, isolate them, you know, and then come up with all of a sudden mysteriously came up sick, whatever the case may be. We must be very clear that the deal is this state intends to implement the death penalty on all of us in one way or another. We must intensify the heat on the streets of saying, what's our call? Free them all.
There you have it. We've been talking with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Want to thank you for joining us this afternoon on Hard Knock. How do we get a hold of the POCC?
Yes, indeed. POCC, we say our office is the streets. Our work hours are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. However, in particular, you can reach us via email, chairmanfredjr@gmail.com. Again, chairmanfredjr@gmail.com. Blogspot, www.chairmanfredjr.com. www.chairmanfredjr.com. Prisons of Conscience Committee on Facebook. And we, the Cubs, say it's a tough act to follow, but we try our best to carry it on.
Well, there you have it. Will Hillary be hanging out with y'all? Do you have a jacket for Hillary?
Interview over.
The time when people can come in our community and get us to vote for them so that they can be our political leaders and tell us what to do and what not to do is long gone.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in. This is Linda Olson Osterlund. You've been listening to a special, The Murder of Fred Hampton, and that last portion you've been listening to was Davey D, who, if you listen to our evening radio, you know we have Davey D on Hard Knock Radio almost every evening during the week, and so it's a great thing to hear him in the daytime. And he was interviewing the son of Fred Hampton, the chairman of the Illinois Black Panthers, who was murdered in 1969. Great programming that you'll only get at KBOO. I say that without hesitation. You're not going to get this kind of programming anywhere else you turn the dial on your radio. So please take a moment. We're in the middle of we call it our bite-size mini drive, a fundraising drive, but we need your support, especially today. We're coming down to the end of the pledge drive, and we need to raise a total of $15,000 from new and increased memberships only. We also want to raise a bunch more from the rest of you, but we're speaking especially to if you're new to KBOO. That means if you haven't given in the last couple years, we get to count you as a new member when you come back to us. So, you know, if you haven't given in the last couple, or maybe it's even, oh my gosh, 5 years since you've contributed to KBOO, you count. And why I'm telling you that is we want to double your dollars. We have a special challenge grant. We need to raise $15,000 throughout today, and that will be doubled in full. So we need your dollars. Call us at 877-500-5266. If you're feeling pretty good about your income right now and the money that you're bringing into your life as we're entering this winter, please think of giving a really large contribution, say $500. You know, you can break that out and have it come out a little bit every month. But either way, think about, you know, giving a large contribution that can really make a difference. I like to say that, you know, you are making a difference with your dollars at KBOO, because every movement and action that's going on in Portland and around the nation about circumstances that you care about, Black Lives Matter, this latest campaign, all of those issues and environment, certainly, you hear about on KBOO, and you actually hear about how you can participate and how you can become part of it. We need your dollars right now. We need to double your dollars. Don't leave the dollars on the table. This literally means that we get those dollars. If you call in, we double them. So please call right now, 877-500-5266. It's KBOO.FM. You're the person who makes a difference. Each and every one of you really does with your dollars. So take a moment today, make a difference with your dollars, and know how that feels for yourself as well as making that difference. It's 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM. And if you want to come in person, it's 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're going to go back to regular programming now. But please, don't let that stop you from picking up that phone right now at 877-500-5266.
Good morning. It's 8:58, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, and Press Watch is next.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Sunni Thai and Lao Kitchen, 1400 Southeast Stark Street, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week, up to 9:30 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and up to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Dinner was provided by Kim Jong Grillin, a Korean barbecue truck and cart on Southeast Division and 46th. Open Monday to Saturday, noon till 8 p.m., and Sunday, noon to 6 p.m.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, thank you for joining me this morning on KBOO Portland. We are having a little bitty pledge drive, just 3 days, and we need to raise, I think it is... I can't remember how much we're supposed to raise. I was going to say 15,000, but that seems too little. But this hour, we need to raise around $1,000. And